Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. Struth, this is a re-record. As I noticed, thanks to one subscriber who came on very quickly, that the last audio, all 17 minutes of it, was silent. And it's operator error. When I rechecked, I noticed that the silence button was on. So here we go again, though. First, quickly, the highlights here today. Stock markets, Asia quiet, mixed. European markets started modestly, but big gains due entirely to Wall Street here today, which really has romped. Up 180 on the Dow just seconds before the close, nearly 21 on the NASDAQ, nearly 21 on the S&P, and 41 on the NASDAQ composite. So it looks like we're going out near the highs of the day in here. Okay, well, why is that actually taking place? There was no economic news in terms of government statistics, but they appear to have liked some of the M&A activity news and also the earnings news specifically mentioned on Bloomberg. I noticed were Merck and Schering-Plough. I think these are the highlights, so let me go on and run through the rest here today. Government bonds, not much going, little mixed, mostly slightly easier. In terms of the US dollar, a bit firmer in here today, so it's broken that 3 or 4 day slide that we had seen, although it's not, dollar's not up against everything, but it is against the euro and the Swissy, that's for sure. I'm just looking down the screen here to see what else. Dollar's also up against the yen, and in the metal markets. Now, this was interesting because they sold off earlier on, but then bounced well off those lows, and we saw, for instance, gold get down to, this is spot gold, got down to 602.57, 600 obviously being a little bit of psychological support, and it's currently at 615.35. Now, it's still down 440 on the day, but that is left as way off the low and has left a big tail on the chart, indicating that there is certainly some demand near that 600 level. More on that. The silver market had held out generally a little bit firmer pretty well all day. And as I say, they all came off the lows. Industrial metals were pretty much up on the day, they were all up on the day. And oil, that was interesting because oil had dipped, got down to, I think, 73.50 or 40. But it's trading right now at 75.15, and so that's up on the day. But natural gas had the big gain, up about 48 cents to 6.61 on the August contract. That's good overall action. It took out the rally high that we had seen. I think if it wasn't, don't think it was last week, it was just the week before that. Okay, well, where are we? What's going on here overall? I do feel that the stock market action that we saw today, upper dynamics in Europe and Wall Street, a lot of gains over 2% in here, that provides further evidence that this is no more than a medium-term correction, not the bear market that we had quite a consensus building in favor of the view, that is, favor of not the view rather than the action, back in June when people got a bit panicky overall. Now, I think so. I think it's very much medium-term correction. It's hard for markets to hold these gains. I think upside potential is limited to this sort of sideways ranging activity. Can't say that we won't see those June lows retested or broken in some instances, but I maintain that we have seen the worst, as I did back at those June lows, that we had seen the worst of the sell-off overall. And I also emphasize that we would need to see markets pull back to towards or above those levels and then establish support, get some upward dynamics while they're doing that. And we still have a tricky patch seasonally to negotiate here through August and September and certainly the early part of October overall. So we can't rule out more selling pressure, or I certainly won't rule out more selling pressure. I mean, here I would be surprised if today's bullish sentiment didn't encounter at least a wobble or two between now and the end of October. After all, they've got interest rates to still be concerned about, the oil price, and the seasonal factors that I mentioned, concern over GDP growth, corporate profits, all the profits aren't worrying them today. Here quite clearly. But I mean, this is a time just to pay attention to what's going on, as we all are certainly doing, monitoring developments on the charts, reading what people are actually saying, but keeping powder dry. If you have a portfolio similar to my own, you're probably reasonably content with that overall, though we never like to see profit erosion, or I don't. But the nicer side of that is that I will have an opportunity to buy some of the things that I like the most off their highs that we've seen so far this year. But I really, as you know, I'm not going to be doing that before October for tactical reasons, which I hope are correct, and also for other reasons related to my operation and convalescence. Now, what else to mention here? Again, if you newer subscribers, if you find you have a portfolio that you're not overly satisfied with, then maybe lightening some positions that you don't like so much on these good rally days is not such a bad idea, but that's your call, really, obviously. Okay. And I do maintain that after this medium-term correction, that we should have quite a reasonable environment for equities that could run well into and through 2007, which I expect to be quite a bullish year in overall performance. And I think that barring a fright or two along the way, we'll get pretty good performance in 2008 as well. Okay, government bonds, don't like them. A lot of people are saying, well, the global economy is going to slow down enough, and therefore we could see a reasonable rally in this sector. I just think there's too much debt around, and I don't buy into the bullish script for government bonds. Now, as I say, just too much supply. But on the inflation front, I can see why people could rationalize a bullish argument for a while. But ironically, the people who are in denial over inflation have been the ones who have been making the most noise about inflation recently. You may recall my view, which is that the slowdown, the bit of a slowdown that we've seen, should rein in those inflationary pressures a bit within a long-term inflationary cycle that I do expect. But we don't have runaway inflation in here right now, and we're not going to see that. But we're not going to see that in the short term. Over the longer term, I do expect considerably higher inflation rates. My forecast all along has been for a gradually rising cycle of inflation, and there'll be setbacks along the way. It'll look like a chart, it'll be choppy action, but with an upward bias. And we're having seen one of those rally phases in inflation. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we don't see it ease back a little bit further. If not, some of these governments, certainly if they become concerned about a slowdown in economic activity, will recook some of the statistics. Hey, they've done it before, haven't they? Okay. Or at least in terms of how they actually measure the inflation. Now, looking at the US dollar, well, it was always going to be a choppy affair overall. The dollar is still helped by favorable interest rate differentials and/or by the expectation have at least one more interest rate hike. But, excuse me, I do expect the dollar to work its way back down and retest the lows on the US dollar index at least. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Well, if it doesn't happen later this year, and it may not, but that we would see that in 2007. I remain very much of the view that the United States does not want to have a firm dollar in here. Okay. And precious metals. Interesting action in here today. I mentioned that tail on the gold chart. My own view here is that gold is pretty good value near $600. And I think I've said this before on pullbacks that I would be buying gold here right now were it not for the fact that I have said that I wasn't really going to do any more trading for a while. I wanted to just give myself both a physical and an emotional rest from trading, and then I'm going away from holiday, and I don't want to have those add those positions on. However, I am rolling ahead a few positions, and I have mentioned that also previously, but just quick recap on that. My natural gas expires tomorrow, that will be rolled forward. My gold expires on Wednesday, that will be rolled forward. Now, I'm not in the office on Wednesday. Should just mention that right now. So Owen will be entirely in charge of the hot seat on Wednesday. I'll be back on for Thursday and Friday before going away. On Thursday, I'll give a tally of those rollover figures so everybody's up to date on exactly what is in my portfolio. Now, of those positions, and actually, I had a soybean position rolled forward. I think that was at the end of trading on Friday. That was a tiny position. I then have a smallish to moderately sized gold position, which was ill-timed. You may recall that I had, having come out of gold quite well on the rally up with a $20 trailing stop on what was a very large position, and I then bought some of it back too soon, and then got caught in that additional shakeout and just decided to ride it out. That was careless, but I was not overly worried about that overall, and I'm content to retain that position. And I've already said I will roll that forward. I'll also be rolling forward a natural gas position. That's a big position, and that will be rolled forward tomorrow. That'll be going forward at a profit if the prices are anywhere remotely close to what we saw here on today's close overall. Okay. Now, the natural gas situation I do want to mention because let's take a hedge fund example. They're always being blamed for this sort of thing or given the credit for it, depending on which way you look at it. Let's say there's a hedge fund, or it could be just you or me, people of a similar view here who decide that because they do trade futures from time to time and because they want an energy position, and here's where I put in the government health warning. I never try to encourage people to do anything that they don't or might not ordinarily want to do in markets because everybody chooses what's appropriate for them. But I know a number of you trade, and my example is, let's say that a hedge fund, or it could be you or me, decides that they want to have an energy position. I'm in that position. Now, we look at crude oil in a nice uptrend, a bit choppy, but only a few dollars off the high, four or five, three or four. And they look at gasoline, that's pretty high as well. Well, they all are, except for natural gas, which had come way down and nestled down in the upper recesses of its former base formation. And it's always been a bit of a volatile player. And you look at the natural gas ratio, oil natural gas ratio in the chart library, and you find that the spread there had been near its all-time highs. So we had better than 12 to 1. In other words, oil selling at more than 12 times the price of natural gas, whereas the mean must be around sort of 7 or 7 or 8. And so what are these people going to do? Are they going to go and buy something that is still within that uptrend but near its highs? Or are they going to say the whole energy story is bullish, which is why they're interested in it, and therefore they want to buy the one that had been driven down by a temporary supply glut? Now, they can also say, and I think this adds to my argument, they can say, well, there's supposed to be a fair amount of oil around, and there isn't a backwardation, it's just the price is staying really quite firm. Well, you see where I'm going with this, and I think that it's pretty much of a no-brainer to use the vulgarism that if somebody wants to have an energy punt right now, that the interesting play is the natural gas, much more interesting than the crude or the gasoline. That's my view at any rate. And that's why I do have an outsized long position in the natural gas. Okay. And crude oil, I mentioned that already. Yes, 75. I'd better get this audio up so as not to frustrate any more people who've been listening to the blank one. That's it, folks. All the best.